Welcome to this advanced Ableton Live 12 lesson on Ghost Notes for Heavyweight Sub Impact, built for jungle and old-school DNB vibes. This one is all about polish, not just adding little quiet notes for the sake of it, but shaping a ghost note layer so it actually improves the groove, strengthens the drop, and keeps the low end disciplined. In drum and bass, that balance is everything. The bass line has to move, but it can't step on the kick, it can't smear into the snare, and it definitely can't get so wide or busy that the whole thing loses its punch. So think of ghost notes less like extra notes, and more like weight transfer. They're the subtle pushes and pulls that make the bar feel alive. A good ghost note doesn't shout. It leans. It pulls the listener forward. It makes the main sub feel heavier, because the groove around it feels more intentional. First, before you write anything, lock in the drum relationship. Get your kick, snare, and break or loop feeling solid. In old-school jungle and heavier DNB, the ghost note lives in the cracks. It often works best just before the snare, just after the snare, or in those tiny 16th note spaces that lead into a kick. You're listening for the gaps. If the groove is already packed, the ghost note won't have anywhere useful to live. If you're using a breakbeat, don't force everything onto a rigid grid. Let the break swing first, then follow that pocket. Ableton's groove pool is really useful here. You can extract groove from the break and apply a subtle amount to the MIDI later. Keep it light. Usually you want just enough movement to make it breathe, not so much that it starts feeling lazy or unstable. Around 15 to 35% groove amount is often a good zone, depending on the source material. Now write the main bass line first. Keep it simple and heavy. In this style, you usually want the main line to own the deepest fundamentals. That might be a clean sign or triangle style sub from operator or a similar low-end source from Wavitable or analog. Don't overcomplicate the main part. The ghost layer is there to add the motion around it. Once the main bass is set, build a separate MIDI track for the ghost notes. This separation matters a lot. It gives you independent control over velocity, length, tone, automation, and mix balance. The ghost layer should not mirror every main note. It should act like punctuation. If the main bass hits on beat 1 and the end of 3, maybe the ghost note answers on the late 2e or the 4a. That kind of placement makes the phrase feel like it's leaning into the next bar. Velocity is your first big control. Keep the ghost notes much softer than the main notes. A practical range is around 20 to 60 for the ghost layer, while the main notes might sit up around 90 to 120. But don't treat velocity as the only answer. A soft note that's too long can still muddy the low end, so the second control is note length. Shorten these ghost notes aggressively. For rhythmic ghosts, 1/32 to 1/8 can be enough. For more rolling jungle style pressure, you might use 1/8 to 1/4, but only if the low end stays tight. If the ghost note contains true sub energy, keep it very short. The goal is not a lingering bass cloud. The goal is a quick, controlled movement that gives the bar shape. Now let's talk tone. A ghost note needs to be felt enough to influence the groove, but not so loud that it steals the spotlight. A good stock Ableton chain for this is Wavitable or Operator, then EQ8, then Saturator, then Auto Filter, then Utility. If the ghost layer is meant to support the sub, start with a very simple waveform. Roll off anything above roughly 120 to 250 Hz if you only want low-end support. Then add a touch of saturator, maybe 1.5 to 5 dB of drive, just enough to generate harmonics, so the note can still read on smaller systems. If needed, soft clip it to keep the peak stable. And if the layer contains important low-end content, keep it mono with utility. Don't get cute with width on the part that matters most for the club. If you want the ghost layer to behave more like a filtered mid-bass or Reese accent, then high-pass it around 80 to 140 Hz so it stays out of the main sub's lane. You can allow a little more movement there, maybe a bit of chorus or subtle stereo character, but only if the low end remains clean. In this style, discipline always wins over decoration. One of the best advanced moves is to make the ghost note feel intentional with envelopes and automation. Static ghost notes can work, but the really convincing ones tend to breathe with the phrase. Try opening an auto filter slightly on the ghost notes that lead into a snare. Try a tiny volume bloom right after the transient. If you're using a restyle ghost, even a tiny pitch variation, around 5 to 15 cents, can add just enough unease to make it feel alive. If you're working with simpler or a resampled bass hit, be careful with the note start. A soft velocity note can still poke too hard if the start is sharp. A tiny faden or a gentler attack can make it feel deeper and more controlled. That's a subtle thing, but it matters. Often the difference between a ghost note that feels expensive and one that just clicks is the shape of the front edge. Now group your bass elements into a bass bus. Put your sub, ghost layer, and any res or harmonic support into one group so you can make final decisions from the bus level. On that bus, use EQ8 to clean up muddy zones, maybe around 120 to 250 Hz if the ghost and kick are clashing. Use glue compressor very lightly if you need the layers to feel glued together, maybe only 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. And keep an eye on mono control. The sub and any low-bearing ghost content should stay centered and stable. This is also where sidechain can help. Sometimes the ghost note is not too loud overall, it's just arriving in the wrong place. Sidechain it from the kick, and maybe the snare too if needed, so the ghost tucks out of the way of the drum transients. That way you keep the character, but you don't get that low-end smear that kills impact on a proper system. A really strong advanced technique is resampling. Once the ghost layer is doing something good musically, record a few bars to audio. Then edit the audio directly. This gives you way more control. You can trim tails precisely, add tiny fades, reverse one note, offset a pickup slightly earlier, or slice the rendered audio into a more jungle-style rhythm. This is where the track can start feeling like it has a bit of lived-in movement, instead of sounding like everything was typed into a grid. For old-school jungle energy, resampling is huge. You can take a four-bar bass phrase, duplicate it, and make tiny edits to the ghost notes so they answer the break differently in each pass. Maybe one pickup is reversed. Maybe one ghost hit is pulled a hair early. Maybe the last note, before the loop resets, is shortened so it feels like the bar is about to snap back around. Those small details add real momentum. And remember, ghost notes aren't just a sound design trick, they're an arrangement tool. In a 16-bar drop, you can use ghost density to shape energy across the section. Start sparse, add more ghost activity as the drop develops, then strip it back again so the main hook feels stronger when it returns. That contrast is powerful. If every bar has the same level of bass chatter, the listener stops noticing it. Save your clearest pickup ghosts for transitions, bar endings, and the lead into fills or switch-ups. This also applies to jungle-style phrasing. If the drums do a snare drag, a flam, or a kick pickup, mirror that energy with a tiny bass reply. The bass should feel like it's having a conversation with the break. That's one of the reasons old-school D&B feels so alive. It's not just the individual sounds, it's the call and response between them. Now let's talk about translation, because this is where a lot of ghost notes either succeed or fail. Check your low end in mono. Always, the main sub should own the real bottom, usually somewhere around 30 to 80 Hz. The ghost note can live more in the 80 to 200 Hz area, with maybe some harmonics above that. If the ghost disappears completely in mono, it may be too dependent on width or facey character. That's risky in a club. Better to have a smaller ghost note that survives than a flashy one that collapses. Also test it on two systems, headphones at low volume and a small speaker or laptop. If the ghost vanishes on the small speaker, don't just turn it up. First add harmonics. That's usually the better fix. If it becomes too obvious on headphones, reduce the mid-range bite. You want it to whisper with authority, not stick out like an effect. For darker and heavier D&B, keep the harmonic profile disciplined. Don't overload the ghost layer with too many moving parts. Usually the best result is a very clean low-end core with just a faint audible edge. If you need more life, try two mild saturation stages instead of one aggressive one. That often sounds smoother and more expensive. And if the track is really dense, you can even automate the ghost layer down a couple dB in the bus when the arrangement gets busy. Density is a weapon. Use it carefully. Here's a practical workflow you can try right away. Build an 8-bar phrase at around 170 to 174 BPM. Put down your kick, snare, and breakbeat foundation. Write a simple main sub line with only a few notes across the phrase. Then add a ghost note track that only plays around snare transitions and pickups. Keep the ghost velocity in that 25 to 55 range. Put EQ8 and saturator on the ghost track. Remove the unnecessary low end if it's not meant to carry sub, and keep the layer mono if it has any real low frequency energy. Then duplicate the clip and make two versions, one more sparse, more old school and jungle, one denser, more rolling and modern. A slash be both with the drums and decide which one actually supports the groove better. That's the real test, not whether the ghost note sounds cool in solo, whether it makes the whole rhythm section feel more alive. So to wrap it up, ghost notes in D&B are groove tools. Write the main bass first. Place ghost notes around drum gaps and phrase transitions. Control them with velocity, note length, filtering, mono discipline, and light saturation. Keep the sub stable. Let the ghost add movement. Check it on different systems. And always remember, the best ghost notes don't make the track sound bigger. They make the drop feel heavier. That's the hidden engine. That's the sauce. And when you get it right, the bass line doesn't just play under the drums. It pushes them forward.